The only tyrant I will accept in this world is the still small voice within me. And even though I have to face the prospect of being in a minority of one, I humbly believe that I have the courage to be in such a hopeless minority. And this week's opening quote comes from Mahatma Gandhi. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And I don't really have anything planned at all for today's show, folks. I've been so busy. I've got to prepare for AV9 and all sorts of stuff, but I thought I'd get a show out to you anyway. And I thought that just to give myself a break and perhaps give you a break as well and to do something completely different to the norm, I might just perhaps revisit some of my original influences and look at some of the things that originally got me started on this path and just ponder a few questions that I think it's important to ask. Questions about how we got here, for example, you know, where we are and what this place is and what's really going on here, because nothing is what we're being told. I mean, that's a given, but what is really going on here? And this is a question that I think most people ask at some stage in their lives. Indeed, it is the question that initially sends you down the rabbit hole. And there are so many rabbit holes to go down. But there is some point in most people's life where they simply look around them and say, is this all there is? There's got to be something more to this. And is everything that I've been told true? And that's what starts people off on their journey of enlightenment, if that's what you can call it. The journey of discovery, anyway. You know, what is this place really, and how did we really get here? What are we? Where are we? Where did we come from? And the thing is, folks, with even asking a question like that, I mean, it's anybody's guess, and all we can do is speculate. But I think it's important that we do speculate, because, as I said, things are certainly not the same. And this is something that I tried to touch on in the book that I put out in 2005, Earth's Forbidden Secrets, when I just pointed out in that book that everything we'd been told about history is wrong. And I make that statement with absolutely no hesitation at all, simply because when you go out and look around the world, you find that nothing can be explained by the current timeline of history that we're given. And how we got here is really a very interesting question to ponder. How we got here, as far as the control system goes, is, of course, someone had an idea, put it into motion, and here we are. But when you look at the control system, and you look at what we've really done since the Industrial Revolution, if you will, it's really quite miraculous. It really is. Even when you look at what we've done in the last 30 or 40 years, technology has simply snowballed. Some of the technology we're using now is stuff that was never dreamt of when I was a child. It was all science fiction when I was a child. This was stuff out of Flash Gordon and bizarre comic books. But even Flash Gordon and some of the bizarre comic books didn't have the stuff that we've got now. It's really come out of nowhere, and it's snowballed to such an extreme that you really have to wonder where it all comes from. And many people have been asking this question, and it's so difficult to find where it comes from because of the mishmash of information that's out there for us to consume. Now, in the first film that I put out way back in 2008, one of the first things that I said in that film was the most effective way to hide a real conspiracy is to create a conspiracy culture around it, to make everything look like a conspiracy and to get everybody questioning anything. And when you do find a real truth, or if a real truth does get exposed, to embellish it to the point that it becomes unbelievable. So it just becomes another conspiracy theory with all the other conspiracy theories. And if you get a few people penning these ideas and putting them out there, or here's this ancient document we found, and here's this ancient book that was printed and says all this stuff, and you really don't know, all you know is that what people have said it is, they've said what that document is, they've said when that book was printed, but we don't really know. It could have just been put out there with a date on it, we just don't know. We don't know what's been done to lead us astray and how many red herrings have been created and how effective the mechanism has been in creating these red herrings. Although, looking at the conspiracy culture today, I'd say it's been a pretty effective method they've used. But the point is, what I'm saying here is you can't really date a lot of the information that we believe we can date, because all that really can be confirmed is that which exists within living memory. That's what we've got. You know, we don't really have any idea where we are, where we come from, or what's really going on here at all. And when you look at the growth of technology in the last 100 years, it really is quite amazing that we've managed to achieve what we've achieved, which again begs the question, where did it all come from? You know, in my last film that I put out in 2012 called Transformation, I asked the question in that film, who was it who first pulled a rock from the ground and decided to beat it into metals? Now, how did they even know what metals were? And even then, how did they know about metallurgy? How did they know how to develop any of these things? And why would they need metals to begin with? And you might think, well, we needed metals because it was just a natural development for weapons or plowshares or whatever. But think about it. If you were living in a hunter-gathering society, which is what society would have been, if we're living in our natural state, I mean, that's what you'd be doing. You'd be living a society kind of like the American Indians, and even they had stone arrowheads and things like that. So why would you need metals? I mean, why would you even have the time to look for metals or create metals? What would you need them for? They wouldn't be part of what you need to build a hut. They wouldn't be part of what you need to go and gather food, because you'd already have ways of doing that. I mean, the point is, you wouldn't even be thinking of stuff like metal because it isn't something that you would need for your life. And it isn't like you're going to pick up a rock and say, hey, I think I'll turn this into metal, because you wouldn't even know what metal was. There's no reason you would need technology to survive in your natural state. So where did technology come from? How did we come up with this stuff to begin with? Not to mention what we've got now, which is absolutely through the roof. Like I said, it's just snowballed in the last 30 to 40, 50 years. I mean, since the invention of television, it's just gone through the roof. And television is, of course, what's helped it go through the roof. Television and movies, you know, predictive programming, all the futuristic stuff that they've been showing us for so long, just preparing us for this as a natural progression, but we never ask where it comes from. All this futuristic stuff, how did we come up with this stuff? If you were sitting there in a lab, would you come up with any of this stuff? That's the question, folks. Where did it come from? And people will hear that and they'll go, oh, well, it was the scientists. It was all the smart people. I'm not smart enough to do it. It was the smart guys. Really? Is that what you think? It was the smart people who just came up with all this stuff because they're just so smart? That's an interesting concept. And as I said, since the invention of television and all the predictive programming that's gone along with it, they've really been able to escalate this. It's literally snowballed. Technology has rolled out in an exponential curve in the last 50 years. But where did it come from to begin with, is the question. And even when you look at our technology, I mean, some of the ancient artifacts and monuments and things that are lying all over the earth, some of the round stone balls that you find through Costa Rica, you know, the myriad of monuments you find all over the place through Peru and in Egypt and all sorts of places, none of these can be created through the technology that we've got now. None of them were created via any method that we know of. So where did the technology that we use now come from? Who would have thought of this stuff? And what was the technology that built all the old stuff that's there? And when was that old stuff built? All these old monuments, stuff that we call ancient, are they really as ancient as what we think they are? See, it's so difficult to get any real handle on history because there's been so much effort undertaken to destroy history. And really, that's what we're seeing now in the Middle East. I mean, why do you think they wage all these wars in the Middle East? It's because it's the cradle of civilization. And they're just destroying history all over the Middle East. They're destroying all the ancient artifacts they can, all the ancient cities they can, all the ancient structures that they can. Because the stuff that's there in the Middle East that they're bombing in Syria, places like Aleppo and Palmyra, these are far older than the places that you find in Europe. I mean, remember when they went into Iraq, one of the first things that the Allies did when they went into Iraq in the Gulf War was they looted the Baghdad Museum. And a lot of the artifacts from the Baghdad Museum were actually found scattered around the side of the road in certain back areas in the United States. All smashed to pieces, of course, but I remember some of these things even made the news, the fact that they were found. So they went in there specifically to destroy the history, to find, locate all the ancient artifacts that indicated there was any history, and just take them and destroy them. Many of these things were priceless, and they didn't even sell them. They didn't sell them on the black market or anything. They just took them to destroy them. So there's an effort undertaken by modern governments and modern academia to destroy and hide history. There were shiploads of artifacts taken out to sea and dropped off the coast of the United States by certain academic institutions because they told a different story to history. So it's been an ongoing effort ever since the invention of government. And it isn't just modern governments that have done this. It's been an ongoing thing as far back as we can find. The question is why? Over the ages, there's been so many groups that have destroyed so much stuff. I mean, the burning of the Alexandrian Library, for example, which was burnt by one or two, possibly even three groups of people, burnt by the Christians, burnt by the Arabs, burnt by anybody who wanted to burn it. The scrolls in the Alexandrian Library powered the baths. They heated the baths in the Temple of Alexandria for 18 months. That's how many scrolls there were, papyrus scrolls that they simply burnt to heat the baths. You look at ancient Egyptian civilization, it seems to have sprung full-blown into being right from day one. That all seems perfectly normal. Look at Chinese civilization. That's always been an incredibly advanced civilization and always very hidden, and we don't know anything about where that came from because many Chinese emperors took it upon themselves to destroy all the history books that existed before them because they decided they would be the beginning of history and history should start with them and there should be no one before them. So they destroyed all of the ancient scrolls that existed before they were born, before they took rulership, so the history would start there. And I think a couple of emperors actually did that in China. So it's pointless looking there for any information. We may have got something from the Mayans, but the Spanish did a great job of destroying all of their information. We do have one or two codexes left, but people simply can't translate them properly. Of course, there's a rich history to be found in Europe, but God knows what it is, because Europe has been a war zone since recorded history even started. So it's very difficult to know what happened there, because there's been so many cultures come and go, and so many armies march across the land, and so much destroyed across Europe. And of course, as in the case with any good battle, history is written by the winners. So it's just a hopeless exercise trying to put anything coherent together from any artifacts you find lying around Europe. So it's very, very difficult to know anything about ancient history. All we've got is little snippets. And certainly what we're told in Western academia, in Western academic history books, are nothing even close to the truth. Because, as I said, there are monuments lying all over the earth which tell a completely different story to anything we'll find in Western history books. I mean, you've got all those things that I mentioned before, such as the ruins in Peru, which are all over the mountains in Peru, and you've got them in Costa Rica, the giant balls, the stuff in Egypt. There's all sorts of bizarre ruins and temples all over Mexico and Central America as well, but you've also got really strange vitrified ruins that can be found all across Europe. We've got Baalbek in Lebanon, an absolutely incredible site and very mysterious. They tell us, of course, that it was built by the Romans and later had a temple built on top by the Arabs, but there's no evidence to support this claim. There's actually foundations there that are incredibly old, and there's no record of them being built in any Roman literature anywhere. And the Romans were an incredibly egotistical race back in their day. They documented everything that they did. All the obelisks they moved from Egypt over to Rome and everything. They have whole accounts of how they did this and how many people died and what an incredible feat of engineering it was to move this thing. So if they managed to put the trilithon, the three largest carved stones in existence, 26 feet high in a wall in Lebanon in Baalbek, they certainly would have recorded the event, and they didn't. So obviously it wasn't built by them. It was built by a culture that existed before the Roman Empire. So what happened there? There's just no record of any of this stuff that we can rely on anywhere to be found. And again, this is probably one of the reasons why they're going out of their way to destroy the Middle East as much as they can and destroy all trace of these ancient sites, but they literally are everywhere. There's many, many ancient sites all across the Middle East, but many of them you just can't get to because they're constantly kept in a war zone. And as I mentioned before, you've got vitrified ruins right across Europe. You've got all sorts of strange stuff in Europe and all sorts of strange stuff in England as well. You've got Salisbury Hill. You've got some very interesting structures around the south of England. You've got Stonehenge, but of course it's hard to take Stonehenge into account and put that where it really belongs, or figure out even where it does belong, because Stonehenge was rebuilt in the 1940s or 1950s. A lot of people don't know that. But Stonehenge was actually moved and rebuilt, and all the stones were put up, and it wasn't anything like what it is now in as recently as the 1930s. I think it was the 1940s or the 1950s. There was a historical society that decided it would be a good tourist attraction if they rebuilt it. So you can't really tell from that. But there are vitrified fortresses to be found in Scotland. And there's also the mud flood that I've mentioned recently. Now, this is a new finding for me, which has really caused me to question the timeline. Because if there's been a mud flood go across Europe as recently as 500 years ago, and nobody knows about it, well, what was civilization like before that, as recently as 500 years ago? And as I said, there's been remnants of this flood found in Russia, found in Holland, where I'm staying at the moment, found in Italy, found in Spain, found in France. So this is like 12 feet of mud that appears to have gone right across Europe and buried an entire floor of many cities. And they just simply moved the roads and moved everything up another level and rebuilt everything and didn't tell anyone it had happened. Well, I guess everyone that lived at the time noticed, I would say so, but it doesn't seem to have made their history books, and that's something very interesting as well. And if that mud flood happened as recently as 500 years ago, then you've got to question, when did the Great Flood happen? The flood that everybody talks about, the flood of Noah. And this flood did happen because it exists in all cultures. It's in all mythologies from all cultures. I mean, even the American Indians talk about the Great Flood. So we know it happened. The question is, when did it happen? How long ago did Atlantis sink? How long ago did Lemuria sink beneath the waves? What is the timeline? Because it really doesn't seem to be anything like what we're told it is, and it really does seem that it's out by at least 1,000 years. They've just inserted 1,000 years in there and told us certain things are 2,000 years old when they're only really 1,000 years old, or possibly even less. And if this is the case, well, again, the question is why? What's the point of hiding history? What purpose does it serve, really? And these may seem like esoteric ramblings. I mean, you might ask the question, what's the point? Who cares what history is? We're here now. Let's just do the best with what we've got. And that's all very well. But, I mean, if you can't think of any really valid reason for them to hide history, well, then you have to ask the question, well, then why did they go to so much trouble to do so? There must be a reason for it. That's the thing. And that fact alone makes it important to ask the question. You know, George Orwell once said, who controls the past controls the future, and who controls the present controls the past. Perhaps there's a clue there. You know, I've often asked the question, why is the Earth being strip mined? This is something that I said in the film that I put out, The Awakening. Why is the Earth being strip mined? What are we doing with all this stuff that we pull out of the Earth? I mean, all the minerals and resources and stuff that we pull out, huge, huge mines that we've got, pulling enormous amounts of resources out. And we look at our cities, we say, well, look at the cities, they're full of people, all this bustling stuff, and that's why we need all the resources. But go and look on the ground in the city. I mean, where you live, it's not really using all of these resources. It just looks busy on the surface. But all of this stuff isn't really going on. We don't have these huge industrial things going on with all this turnover of stuff happening in our cities and all this stuff being consumed at this enormous rate. We just don't have it. Not when we look at what the resources are that we're pulling out of the earth anyway. I mean, sure, we've got to throw away society. We're always throwing away blenders and toasters and whatever, you know, all sorts of electrical appliances that break all the time. But when you look at the stuff we're pulling out in some of these huge mining operations, you simply have to wonder where it's going. Because really, when you step back and look at it, the Earth is being strip mined, and you've got to ask why, how we need all this stuff to support these societies that we have. Because I really can't see where all of it's being used. And it's an interesting question to ask. Why are we strip mining our environment, and why have they hidden history? And if you wanted to hide history, how hard would it be? How long would it take to hide history from the entire human race? And the answer is it would take one generation. one generation to completely re-educate people into what actually happened. All you have to do is distract the generation that exists now and then teach the children something completely different. And when you look at television, you look at modern society, you look at how distracted we've all become and what's been done to our children, there it is. You can see how very easily they could hide history from us. I mean, we have history books, but we don't even know how true most of them are. And let's face it, most people don't even read books anymore. Most people are in a situation where all the history they know is what they got from television. In fact, most of all information that people know about anything today, they got from television. So what did happen? And how did we get here? It's an interesting question to ponder. And in fact, asking that question when I was very young was what led me to what I'm doing now. If I'd never asked that question when I was 8 years old, I never would have researched all the stuff I'd researched, and I'd never be speaking to you on the radio now. You know, when I was very, very young, my mother told me they didn't know how the pyramids were built. It kind of sent me on my journey. And once you go down that rabbit hole of trying to figure out what happened in ancient history, it leads you down all the other rabbit holes. And in attempting to answer this question, of course, it's essential that you do go down all these rabbit holes. It's a natural course of events. But what happens is you find that all of them really lead nowhere, because you can go and find out all this information on all these different topics. And at the end of it, it becomes a very real possibility. But then you go down another rabbit hole, and that becomes a very real possibility. And what you find out at the end of it all is that you don't really know. And that's all we do know, is that we don't know. And that's why it becomes very dangerous when people start putting stuff out there and saying this is, and create an argument around it. Because all it really does is tie people up in infighting and argument, and in such an environment, it becomes impossible to get any real focus on the root core of the problem, which is the system itself. The real problem is the fact that this information has been hidden to begin with. So really you've got to look at what the mechanism is that has hidden this information, because in attempting to answer the questions at this stage, all anyone can do is speculate. So see, when you really step back and look at all this and you realize that this is how it's been done, and this hiding of history has been an integral part of creating this conspiracy culture in order to hide the real conspiracy that you're living in a people farm. Whatever form it takes, we don't know, but you're living in a people farm that is managed via a system of debt slavery, whereby all the inhabitants are forced to strip mine the earth around them in order to collect the paper they need to pay to be alive. And most people know something's terribly wrong. I mean, that's why they go down the rabbit hole to begin with, but they never really look at the system that holds it all together, which is the money system. And again, many people know the financial system's all corrupt. They know about fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, how it all works, blah, blah, blah. But they never really question the fact that even without the fiat part of the currency, just the mere fact that they have to pay to be alive to begin with, this is a real problem. This is what creates the whole mechanism to begin with. It's the catalyst. It's the glue that holds the whole thing together. And money is something that people simply take for granted, just the fact that it's there. They'd be happy if it wasn't a fiat system, but they still believe that they need money. And once it's imposed in people's thinking, it's very, very difficult to get it out of their thinking. And it may be kind of weird for people to look at things this way and to consider the fact that you're living in a people farm, but, you know, whatever you want to call it, however you want to look at it, when you look at what it is, when you step back and look at the whole thing, that's what it is. It's a people farm. And we're pulling the place apart in order to support this farm that we're in. And it doesn't really make sense. None of the stuff we're doing makes any sense. And really, this hiding of history has helped create this situation. As I said, you wouldn't have this conspiracy culture now if it wasn't so difficult to find out what's going on. You know, and you can't really make it really difficult, this difficult, to find out what's going on, as difficult as what it is, without hiding history. And that's what they've done. And all you've got to really do is go and travel around the world and look at stuff to see the truth of this. I mean, nothing's what they tell us it is. None of it makes sense. Nothing that they tell us makes sense. None of the timelines make sense. And even some of the stuff that I was talking about before with the Romans and Baalbek and all this sort of stuff. I mean, who says the timeline that we're given for any of this stuff is correct anyway? I mean, we know these Roman civilizations existed. We know these past civilizations were there. But when were they there is the question. Was it all really as long ago as what we think it was? And again, that may seem like a very strange question to ask, but I don't know, folks. I mean, everything we've been told is a lie, so you have to question this as well. You know, and the fact that it's so difficult to really discover too much about the Earth is what has promoted the concept of things such as the Flat Earth Society, the Flat Earth Movement, which has done so much damage to the resistance. It really has. Just the distrust and the divide and conquer and the insults and all the stuff that goes with it. I mean, you can research whatever you want, but you don't have to insult others while you do it. But even when looking at it, you can't blame the Flat Earthers for what they do. You really can't, because there's so much wrong with the model that we're given. And it doesn't mean it's flat, but there's certainly a lot wrong with what we're told is going on here. So you can understand where they've got the fuel for the fire that they're burning at the moment. And that's why the Flat Earthers and the Globe Earthers have got to put down all this fighting with each other and realize that they're both being played and they both have a common enemy, which is the one that created the mystery to begin with. And really, it's the perfect divisive mechanism. It is, because like 20 years ago, I looked into models of the Earth. I looked into the Flat Earth, into the Round Earth, into the Hollow Earth, into the Concave Earth, into every type of Earth you could think of. And what I concluded back then is that there is absolutely no model at all that's offered to us that actually explains every question and answers every question. There isn't. I mean, even with the heliocentric model that we're given, it doesn't answer all the questions. A flat model doesn't answer all the questions. None of the models answer all the questions. So it's the perfect divide and conquer mechanism. It's the perfect divisive tool to interject into the resistance right at a crucial time when they're rolling out this whole 5G grid, which is what they've done. So it should have been quite a clever play, but even this play would never have been possible were it not for the fact that they've been able to hide history from us. So we don't really know what's going on at all, which makes it possible for anybody to speculate anything. And if they can get other people to believe it or buy into it, there you go. Divide and conquer. It's the perfect tool. And we do it to ourselves by locking ourselves into a belief system based on second-hand information that we haven't experienced ourselves. And the truth of the matter is that we just don't know. And you can go down as many rabbit holes as you want, folks. You seriously can. I mean, I've gone down rabbit holes for the last 40 years, but what happens when you come out of the other end is you realize that none of them really lead anywhere, and all you've got is all these different ideas of what is possibly going on, what could be happening. But ultimately, you just don't really know, and it gets to the point that you realize that all of these rabbit holes are there, and all of these questions exist to begin with simply because we're not free. So let's establish freedom. Because once we do that, all the doorways will be open. Then we won't have to speculate about what's going on. We'll actually know. Well, at least we'll have a better idea anyway. But as I often say, folks, belief is the enemy of knowledge. And at the moment, all each researcher has, including myself, is what information we have had access to and what we've been able to make of it. But there is so much information out there to consume, and nobody knows really where it comes from or who wrote it or which stuff is reliable. All we can do is guess and use our intuition and make the best estimates we can. Until we admit this and realize this is what we're dealing with, and realize that nobody really knows and that the biggest obstacle to us ever knowing is our lack of freedom, then we're not going to get anywhere. What we need, folks, is freedom. And what we have at the moment is a real opportunity to create some. And all we have to do is to realize that all this stuff we're looking at, nobody really knows for sure, and all we have to do is agree to disagree and get a little bit of focus. Because one thing we do know, the world is run by criminals. And if we get a little bit of focus there, we're at a time in history where I believe we can actually fix it. But folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I better leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, it's interesting trying to figure out where we came from. Of course, there's two popular schools of thought on where we come from. There are others, but there's the two most popular, which of course is evolution or creationism. I personally don't particularly buy into either of them. Evolution is completely ridiculous. I mean, even Charles Darwin said it was a theory, and it was manufactured. I mean, the entire ascension of man was concocted out of 200 bone fragments, and there's so many missing pieces that it just doesn't fit together. I mean, the concept that we would have come from apes and gorillas is ridiculous, because these things still exist, and so do we, and there's never been any transitional species found, and there never will be. And there's so many differences between us and gorillas and apes that it just beggars belief that they could even have suggested it to begin with. And, you know, and they'll present it to you and make it sound all very believable, and they'll say things like, look, there's only 1% difference in the DNA between apes and humans, So there's a close cousin. But what they don't tell you is there are 20 billion base pairs in the human DNA, and so 1% of that is 20 million base pairs. And no matter how you look at it, that's a huge difference between species, folks. Plus, you know, there's so many differences between us and apes, it's ridiculous. There's a great book that was put out by Lloyd Pye called Everything You Know Is Wrong, where he went through the whole plethora of differences between us and apes and virtually proved that evolution from apes is impossible for humans. So that theory really doesn't work, no matter what people might say and no matter how much it's promoted by the mainstream. Of course, the other theory is creationism. I don't particularly buy into that, but some people do. But of course, it's one of those theories that you can't really debate, you can't really offer proof of, it simply rests on faith. And so that just depends on your religious perspective. Those who choose to believe it do, and those who choose not to don't. And realistically, that's about all you can really do with that theory. You can choose to believe it, or you can choose not to. But the thing is, even with either of those theories, none of them really explain any of the mysteries that I outlined for you in the first half of the show. Neither of them explain all the ruins that are lying around everywhere. None of them explain why they've gone to such an incredible amount of effort to hide history from us. And if you don't think they have hidden history, folks, if you think I'm sort of stretching it by even saying that, well, just ask yourself why all these things exist all around the earth, why all these monuments are there, and why they're all hushed up and we're not told about them. I mean, like I said earlier, all those artifacts that the Smithsonian Institute took out and dumped off the shore of California or wherever it was, and the way they went into the Iraqi Museum specifically to steal all of the artifacts and then not even sell them, but to destroy them. The way they're bombing Aleppo and Palmyra. The way they've always kept the entire Middle East a war zone, so Baalbek's an unsafe place to visit, and all sorts of stuff like that. And it probably isn't even unsafe, it's just that they promoted the concept so Westerners won't go there. The way you can't get to the Dead Sea, there's so many mysteries surrounding the Dead Sea, and research indicates that there's all sorts of stuff that could be found there, possibly even the hidden artifacts of Thoth, maybe in the Dead Sea. So they've made sure that we can't get to any of these places, folks, and yeah, they cover up virtually anything that doesn't fit with the mainstream story. So if you've got to do that, and really, you know, when you look at it, if there's one artifact out of place, then the mainstream story isn't right. And there isn't just one artifact out of place. There's quite literally hundreds of them. So something's definitely not right. And if you've got to remove the artifacts from the story to make the story fit, then I would suggest the story is wrong. I mean, that's a given. But that's the two main scenarios that we have. That's the two main schools of thought. The problem is that neither of them really work. And neither of them really go a long way to explaining much where the technology came from, nor really to explain the direction the technology is taking us. Of course, the religionists may argue that point and say, oh no, this is all outlined in the Bible and this is the devil's system and rah, rah, rah. But I don't know, it doesn't explain the strip mining, it doesn't explain so many of the things that we see around us. And unfortunately what I find with a lot of religious beliefs is that it causes people to sit back and just simply allow things to be destroyed around them by believing that they really can't do anything about it, and I don't think such is the case at all. I think that the world is run by people, and that we are all people, and that we all have the ability to make change if we would simply motivate ourselves into action. And call this system out for what it is. I think it would be very easy if we were to do that. So I have a little bit of trouble with that religious mindset that a lot of people get into. I mean, I think it's all very well to have faith and to believe in your God or your Savior or whatever you want to believe in. But stand up for yourselves and take responsibility for yourselves at the same time. I mean, even if you want to believe in Christ, I mean, Jesus Christ was an activist. If he wasn't an activist, then you wouldn't know about him. And even he got angry and he went and overturned the tables of the money changers and he whipped the bankers out of the temple. I mean, he got annoyed with things and he took matters into his hands when he needed to. And if you're going to follow his teachings, I would suggest that that's what he wanted you to do as well. And that's what he suggested that you could do. And unfortunately, people simply aren't doing it. They're waiting for him to come back and do it for them, which is another example of the nanny state, only this one comes from heaven. I don't really see that that's the way out of these things. I think that people should stand up for themselves and really take a look at what's going on around here. Another interesting scenario that I came across a few years ago was the concept that the Earth had been invaded by someone from somewhere else. You could call it aliens, you could call it people from another dimension. The flat earthers will say it's people from beyond the ice wall, whatever, whoever it is. But there's a book that I came across years ago called The Allies of Humanity. And I read this and it was quite interesting. I thought that's an interesting scenario that this person has put out there, because he was suggesting that resource explorers are strip mining the earth and we don't really realize that we're doing it. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is just another guy making money out of the whole ET agenda. Then I found out that he'd put the book out for free, because what I'd found online was like a preview of it, like a synopsis. And I sort of did a little bit of research and I found this free book. I thought, well, that's interesting. He's put the book out for free, so obviously he's not doing it for money. He's doing it because he wants people to get the information. So that sort of perked my interest a little bit more. So I actually took this free book and I narrated each chapter of it, and I released a couple of videos with my voice narrating it because it seemed like a reasonable scenario to consider at the time. And I put it up on YouTube because I just wanted to gauge what the public response would be to this. I thought, well, this is an interesting scenario. I wonder if this is going to resonate with people and if other people think that this might be a possibility. So I just put it out there to see. And this was years ago. This must have been 2006 or 2007 or something like that. It was before I had the radio show, before I'd released any films. And like I said, I just put it up there just to see whether this would resonate with other people the way it had with me, because that's kind of where my research had been going at the time. I mean, of course, once you start looking down any rabbit hole, of course you end up going down the ET rabbit hole. It's just part of the adventure. So that's where my mind was at the time. And then I came across this book and thought, this kind of explains a few things. I wonder how people feel about it. And it got quite a lot of views, and I actually heard from the guy who wrote the book, and he sent me his entire book collection. He said, thank you very much for narrating that for me. It's caused a lot of attention to my stuff. And he sent me his entire book collection. But then what happened was the religionists got hold of the guy, and they said he was the second coming, and this was a new message channeled from God, and it all became muddied up by religion, and no one listened to the message, and so, not wanting to be one caught up in some new type of religious movement, I deleted the videos. But I thought it was quite an interesting scenario. Is it true? I have no idea whether it's true. But it was certainly something interesting to consider. You know, if there was a race that had come here that was mining the earth and we didn't know about it, and was controlling our governments and we didn't know about it, it would certainly go a long way to explaining a lot of things. But of course, it's very difficult to find out any information that might confirm anything like this, because all the information is hidden. You know, it's said that there's still a lot of old books and old scrolls and a lot of stuff hidden in the Vatican Library. Perhaps some of the information that we seek is there, but it's very difficult to get to because the people that control the Vatican, of course, won't let you in. But that could be another source of good information where we could actually find out what's really going on here. And of course, you've got a whole group of people, such as David Icke even, will tell you that the whole place is run by reptiles. And of course, that sounds completely preposterous to people. And then you start looking through all the ancient texts, and you start looking through all the cave drawings and all the stuff that you hear from the Native Americans and all this sort of stuff. And they all talk about reptiles and their snake brothers. You also hear it from the Australian Aboriginals. But again, you've got to wonder how much of it has simply been put there, how much of them are real, and how many have been concocted. That's the thing. You just don't know. And getting back to the concept that the earth has been invaded and is being strip mined, you could even ask yourself whether the flat earth movement was introduced right at the time they are finishing their mining operations to make people believe that space doesn't exist and that aliens are impossible. And the thing is, you can prove just about all of it to be true, but that doesn't make any of it so. And you see how easy that was to just construct a believable scenario. And some people may say, oh no, that's not believable. But well, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, then maybe it is believable. That's the thing, folks. You just don't know. See, any scenario could be true. And the thing is, folks, that if you really get out there and you start looking at all the information and you start gathering information, you start preparing yourself some type of a presentation or whatever, you can prove anything you want to prove. That's the thing. Like I said, you can prove that it's all about flat earth, or you can prove that it's all about globe earth. You can prove the earth has been invaded. You can prove that the flat earth was introduced to cover up the fact that the earth is invaded. And you can prove all of those things. Plus, you can prove a whole bunch of other things as well. You can prove that there's reptiles living under the ground controlling everything from under the earth. You can prove that it's all run by the Jews. You can prove that it's all run by the Jesuits. You can prove that it's all run by the Freemasons. You can prove that it's all hologram. But the thing is, you can only prove any of it up to a certain point. But you can prove it enough to make it believable and to get other people to believe it. And you can only do that because they've hidden history. And the fact is that we don't know. And that's why they've done it. And that's why all this information's out there. And that's why you can prove anything you want to prove. Because that's what perpetuates the divide and conquer mechanism. So you've really got to step back at it and look at it and say, well, why do all these questions exist? Why don't we know what's going on? We don't know because all of this information is hidden from us. Why? Because the world is run by criminals and we're not addressing that point. We're not addressing what has caused the cover-up to begin with. And it isn't just because people have hidden things and things are secret and there's secret societies. No, it's because we're not told stuff we need to know because there is an elite group of people who keep the information from us and we never call it. We go down these little rabbit holes and think that we know it all because we've gone down our rabbit hole when we don't. Because there's about 10 million rabbit holes out there to go down and all of them will lead you to a slightly different spot. A little bit the same in a lot of ways, but always something slightly different. Just enough to keep you all arguing amongst each other, which is exactly why it's been done. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and that includes the truth movement. It's all a stage. There's so much theatre and charade in all of this. And we really need to put our egos aside, realize what we're dealing with here, and step back and take stock and regroup, and as I keep saying, get a little bit of focus in the right direction. And I know I'm going to get so much flack for some of the things I've said on the show today. I know I'm going to get trolled by flat earthers. I'll probably get trolled by globe earthers as well. I'll get trolled by the ETs, by the Galactic Federation people. I'll get trolled by the evolutionists. I'm certain to get trolled by the Christians. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. And I do love you. And please don't troll me. I'll get trolled by everybody because no one really wants to face the truth of the whole matter. Everyone wants to be the one who's right. Everyone wants to be the one who's got the answer to everything. And no one is really prepared to look at the real problem, which is the fact that we don't know. The fact that we're not free enough to know. We've got all these questions and the questions exist because they are supposed to exist. Because that's what keeps us arguing. That's what keeps us looking, digging under rocks, looking under holes, wondering what's going on and never really paying attention to our surroundings. Now, never questioning our belief in authority, never questioning why we have to do the things that we do, never questioning why we can't just go and find out these questions, why we can't just go into the Vatican Library and read what they've got in there, why everything is so secret and why it needs to be so secret. Who are these people to think that they can keep things from other people? Why are you someone who believes that you don't deserve to know what's in these secret vaults and what's hidden away from the masses? What this hidden knowledge is. Why should there be a special group of people who hold all the keys to the information and sequester and hide that information away from everybody else? Why would we allow this? And we allow it because of this misplaced belief in authority. We allow it because we believe that people can write down on pieces of paper and create rules that govern our lives and that they can hide stuff from us and not tell us what we need to know. And I think where we come from and who we are and where we are important issues. They are things we need to know. But unfortunately, they're questions that simply cannot be answered and will never be answered until we are free enough to put the mysteries to rest ourselves, till we have access to the information that's been hidden from us. So that's why there's no point arguing amongst each other. There's no point thinking that our rabbit hole has the be-all and end-all. Because each of us has a piece of the puzzle. Each of us has a different perspective of what this reality is, and each of us has the key to our own prison. Because the prison that enslaves us is a fictional prison. It's a prison of our minds. It's a belief that we have to do what we are told. And it's our willingness to adopt belief systems and lock ourselves into ego once we adopt these belief systems and attempt to push them on everybody else and to fail to really recognize the fact that we don't know. All we can do is best guess just about everything. I mean, sure, there's certain things that we know, certain everyday things that happen in everyday life that we know. There's certain parts of our education system that are actually true. I mean, one and one does make two. But there's so much that's been hidden from us and so much we really have no idea about and we really have no reference point of even trying to understand some of these things, especially when we're using English because we don't have the reference point even contained within our language because the English language is such a non-descriptive language when it comes to real esoteric understandings. And really, folks, when you look at this whole mess that we're in, the fact that history has been hidden from us and the fact that this entire conspiracy culture has been allowed to grow, you've got to ask yourself why, what it's all about. And like I said, way back at the start of the show, way back in the first film that I ever made, the best place to hide a real conspiracy is in a conspiracy culture. And that's why all of these scenarios have been given to us. That's why you can prove anything you want to prove, and you can argue about anything you want to argue about, because all of it just detracts from the root core of the problem, which is the ruling kakistocracy and the way they control things and the way they're shifting into this smart grid. And that's why things have been speeding up so much and rollercoastering so much world conflict and so many different scenarios, so many different conspiracy theories, so many different groups, so much of a mishmash of infighting right now. Because they need that now. They need that division. They need that distraction. They don't want people paying attention to what is happening around them. And it's really important that we do. You know, sometimes I just wish the world would just stop. Just for 5 minutes. Just, if I could just stand on a mountain and just scream out, stop. And get everyone to just pay attention for just 5 minutes. Put down their stuff. Put down their job. Stop running on the treadmill they don't need to run on. And just have a look at their surroundings and just pay attention, just for a moment. You know, we could really heal the world in that moment. We could heal the world in a day if we would just pay attention to what's going on, put down our stuff with each other and realize how we're being played with all of this stuff. You know, we have value, folks. We all have value. And we could simply just go and read these books and read these ancient texts and just go to these places and just go and find out what's going on. We could do it any time we want to do it. The only thing that ever stops us doing it is government and the ridiculous rules that they create. And none of these are there to serve us. All of these are there to hide reality from us and to hide history from us and ultimately to hide ourselves from us. And we need to realize this. You know, we are at a crucial time here, folks. And the reason I've brought you all this stuff on the show today is because I just want people to stop fighting. I just want to see the truth movement become some sort of unified wave the way it was. And maybe it never really was, but it was building to that. It was building to that 3 or 4 years ago, and then came all the division. And this division has been the greatest gift the system has ever had. It's created so much infighting, and it's allowed the smart grid to come rolling out without people really noticing what's going on. And this is just a plea for people to realize how they're being played and realize that whatever it is you're out there claiming to be truth, ultimately you don't know. And you don't know because we've never had the freedom to know. And we're at a time now where we could gain that freedom. And if we don't, then we're going to be heading into a point where we're not even going to be able to research this stuff because we won't be allowed to. The internet will be too close and we will have missed the opportunity that is being handed to us right now, I believe, on a silver platter. So let's get some focus, ladies and gentlemen. We've got so many tools available to us now. We've got so much information available to us now. The doctor that came out recently and spoke about chemtrail cough on camera, with Rachel Ranstra got on camera, and I've seen people putting out there saying, oh, we don't know who this doctor is, rah, rah. It doesn't matter who the doctor is, folks. It's a medical doctor who is saying, yes, chemtrail cough exists. So all the millions of people out there who don't believe they're spraying the skies, maybe they'll believe it when they see it coming from a medical doctor. So use the tools that you've got and share it with people who are in cognitive dissonance, and maybe you'll make a difference. You know, don't criticize everything and don't think everybody's your enemy. We're all in this together and we can make a difference if we can band together and get a little bit of focus. And that's all this show's been, folks. It's just been an attempt to get people to put their stuff down with each other and deal with this situation while we still have the chance to do it. But folks, I think we're getting very close to the end of the show here now. So yeah, bit of a different show for you today, folks, but I love talking about all this stuff. As I said, this is the stuff that originally got me started on this journey to begin with. You know, this sort of stuff and trying to figure out the true nature of consciousness and all the esoteric questions that go with life. And this is the stuff that I prefer to be talking about. I mean, all the stuff that I've been concentrating lately on the show for the last couple of years even, and most especially lately with the 5G and the smart grid and all this sort of stuff, I mean, this isn't stuff that I enjoy talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I don't enjoy bringing you this type of information on these shows, and I don't enjoy focusing on these issues. You know, I just do it because it needs to be done, and somebody has to do it. And frankly, there just aren't enough people looking at it. There aren't enough people looking at the underlying control mechanism that is really going to be taking over our lives very, very soon if we don't pay attention to it. So that's why I've been focusing on that lately, just because it needs to be done. But all these questions regarding ancient history, I really spent a lot of years looking at all of these things, and they're very, very interesting questions to ask, and they're very interesting puzzles. Even to know that they exist is interesting. It really causes you to question where you are and what you think you know. And they're important questions to ask, but like I said, at the end of it all, what you find out is that you just don't know. And the reason you don't know is because we don't have the freedom to actually answer any of it. You know, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that listen to the show and they're going to think, oh, look, Max is trying to distract us. He's trying to tell us not to research all this stuff and to not look down our rabbit holes and not to investigate. And there's going to be people who just didn't listen and construe it all the wrong way and don't really hear what I'm attempting to say with all this. And that's not what I'm saying at all. All I'm saying is that ultimately, when it all comes down to its bare bones, you don't know because you have never had the freedom to truly put whatever it is you're investigating to rest. And that is the simple fact of the matter. And all I'm really doing is offering a little bit of friendly advice that I've spent 40 years going down these rabbit holes. And as I've so often said, I can prove to you that any one of the scenarios that I've outlined for you today is true. I can prove it. But that doesn't make any of it true. Because the reason I can prove any of them to be true is because all the information has been put out there to be able to create a believable scenario about anything you choose to believe. And the fact that you can do that is exactly the reason why it's been done, just to confuse the issue. And again, the reason all of these questions exist is due to our lack of freedom. And until we gain that freedom, we're never going to answer anything. All we're going to do is continue to argue with each other and point the finger at each other and say, I know what's going on and you don't, when really none of us do. And we have to be prepared to admit that. And like I said earlier, the globe earthers and the flat earthers and all these groups that are fighting against each other, you're fighting against a common foe. Put all this animosity between each other down. You can't prove any model without having a whole bunch of questions that need answering anyway. So forget it. Because right now, the human race is in a state of very clear and very present danger. And if this system is allowed to continue, if the whole 5G smart surveillance grid is allowed to be rolled out, then you're not going to have the freedom to research any of this stuff from that point anyway. Because the internet is going to become so locked down and so censored, and so many people are going to get locked out of it, that it's just going to make the whole thing pointless. So we need to get a little bit of focus with all of this, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. This whole scenario has been constructed just to keep us confused, just the way it has. It's about time we realize how we're being played and focused our collective attention on what has caused the problems to begin with. You know, and this is something that I've been saying right since day one, but it's getting close, folks. It's getting time for us to do this because, as I said, we're in a state of clear and present danger. And if you can't see it around you by now, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Perhaps you really should get out more and look around. But what these governments are doing is not anything that's going to benefit us at all, and we need to pay attention. But folks, that really is the end of the show for me here. I've completely run out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody who comes to AB9 next week, and I'm not going to be able to bring you a show next week, I don't think. I will try to get one pre-recorded for you, but I don't know whether I'm going to be able to because I have to go to England and speak in the Midlands at AB9 next Friday evening. So I really don't know whether I'm going to be able to get the time to get one out. And after that, I will be speaking at the Chemtrail Conference in West Virginia on May 26th and at Regeneration, I think, on June 1st. Thank you to all those who continue to support the website. Thank you to my Patreon supporters. Again, I cannot do any of this without the support that I get on Patreon, so I cannot thank my Patreon supporters enough. And again, if anyone can make a one-time contribution, I could really use a substantial input of funds at the moment. And I will put it out there again for anybody who feels like they might be able to translate my shows into Spanish and open up a Spanish Crow House channel. That would be a really good thing to do because I get so many requests for it. But thank you very much for joining me on this show today. And please consider some of this information that I've shared with you. I think it is important for us to get our bearings on how we've been played and what our real situation is here, because I think it may make a little bit of difference to the way we view things and the way we approach and interact and react with other people. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week if I'm able to. If not, then the week after. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.